The following message by Shane Sowers is brought to you by Central Baptist Church, Aurora, Colorado. www.cbcaurora.com.
Is saying here. But just a little quick thing here. I was reading a book by Charles Swindoll, and I saw something in here I thought was really cute. He says, "How do you know when you are getting older?" He says this. He writes this. "Everything hurts. And what doesn't hurt doesn't work. You feel like the night before and you haven't been anywhere. You sit in a rocking chair and you can't get it going. Your knees buckle and your belt won't. Dialing long distance wears you out. Your fortune teller offers to read your face. The little gray-haired lady you help across the street is your wife. You sink your teeth into a steak and they stay there. You wake up in the morning and your waterbed has sprung a leak and you realize you don't have a waterbed. When you know all the answers and no one asks you the questions. When you decide to procrastinate, but you never get around to it." The messages that we receive from the world, the message that we receive from the time when we were young, the time that we become older, middle-aged, then over the hill, all of these different times and seasons in our lives, what are the messages that we have received? There's an interesting study that was carried out, and I thought it was really interesting. It's really elaborate, but I'll just kind of go on just what I thought was interesting. The question was, what do people complain about today? Do you know that most people will complain about stuff they cannot control? I get that, all right? Because that if you can't control it, that's the reason why you're complaining, right? But here's the other thing I thought was really interesting. They complain about things that they cannot control. But watch this. They complain about things that they can control, but refuse to do anything about it. Whew. Man, that struck me, and I thought that was an interesting part of the study. Complaining about things that we can control, but refuse to do anything about it. The example that they used was a job. You know, you complain about your job. "I hate my job. I don't like my job. I can't stand my job. I go there every single day and there's horrible things. I just don't like it. And we complain about the job. But nobody's forcing you to work that job. You don't have to work that job. But we are working it because we refuse to do anything to change it. Uh-oh. We don't like the cards that we are dealt sometimes. And we don't like the difficult choices that we need to make. What is it about our difficult choices today? And the thing that's interesting is when you look at our culture and you look at our generations today, a lot of the difficult choices that we have to make, the older generation will look and say, "What's difficult about that? What is the message that we're hearing?" Lots of choices and choices that we have to make that seem very, very difficult. Decisions that we have to make that are uncomfortable, that are painful, that are requiring sacrifice. Wow. I remember one time, and I remember having a conversation with my grandfather. My grandfather grew up during the time of the Depression. So I don't know if any of you are kind of there still. But my grandfather grew up in the Depression. And a lot of times we would have conversations. And I would tell my grandfather and I would be complaining about difficult decisions that I have to make. And a lot of the decisions, a lot of things that I'm saying, I can see that look. You know, where he's smiling, got that little smirk, smiling, and just smiling at me. And then after a while, he doesn't have to say anything. I just know by the look that I am being a tiny little brat right now. Because when you think about things that he had to go through, what about the decisions and the choices they had to make and the things and the problems and sacrifices and all of those things that they had to make? And these are things that we're whining about, things that we are complaining about today. So again, the question comes, why and where does the message come from? It's really interesting. This is just interesting how there's so much in life that we take for granted. You know, one of the things that I'm thinking about my grandfather, ice. Just things like ice. My grandfather was one of those times where it was just like he absolutely was irritated with the fact when me and my cousins would go get a drink of water, we'd fill up our cup with ice and we'd go to fill it up with water, we would drink the water and we'd dump the ice in the sink. You know? And it wasn't like, you know, he was just like going to stand there and watch us eat the ice. It was just our mentality when it comes to ice. It was just like, no big deal. And he was just like, you know, when I was your age, and there's the I was your age speech. And then I remember watching the movie Castaway with Tom Hanks. And he was even saying the same thing. He says, it's amazing when you're trapped on the island, just some things that you take for granted. And one of the things he brought up was ice. Oh, ice. What is it that we are complaining about? What is the philosophy? Where is the paradigm shift that has happened within the last 10 years? And what is the message that we're receiving? You see, what's happening is today, society is putting such a huge and high premium on superficialities. And what's happening is we are now confusing life with lifestyle. Say that again. We are confusing life and lifestyle. A life of sacrifice is not a life we want to live today. Superficialities that come. And the message is absolutely destroying us and destroying our generation and destroying our nation. It's destroying our culture. And it continues. And it continues to flourish. See, this is part of the reason, this is what we got to get, part of the reason why suicide rates are climbing. And the thing that's interesting is that we see the climbing rates of suicide with those who have high IQs. And what's also interesting is the amount of people that are committing suicide who we would consider to be successful and wealthy. Suicide rates are climbing. See, the thing is that we got to understand that a lot of times people are in their mind are thinking, if we cannot have the desired lifestyle, then we just don't desire life. You see that? Just the generations before, many of you could think generations before, you look at history before, where it was like the constant fight, the constant struggle was for life. That's what we fought for, was for breath. What we fought for was food, was fought for were things that we needed to live. In culture today, what we're fighting for, what we're pining for, what we're stressed out over, the things that is controlling and consuming us are things to better our lifestyle. Wow. Where is the message coming from? Why is it that we're having a very difficult time differentiating between life and lifestyle? This is where the struggle is. We're struggling with life and lifestyle. And this whole idea and this whole mentality has even permeated the church. It's penetrated even the church, where we start to hear sermons and messages and ideologies and things that are coming out to help us better our lifestyle. And completely forget the idea that there is a holy and just God who is coming back to judge the living and the dead. And I feel like sometimes, I remember having a conversation with one young person, I feel like it's like, you know, I, Shane, I want to go to church. I think going to church is a good idea. But, you know, I just don't see how it's actually going to help my life right now. And I was just like, well, I understand. I appreciate what you're saying. But let's talk about something that's serious. Here's the serious thing. There is a holy and a wrathful, a just God up in heaven that's coming back to judge the living and the dead. Those who have sinned, who have broken even one of the commandments, is as guilty as someone who has broken all of it. Therefore, judgment is going to come, and the judgment that's pronounced is the place of weeping, gnashing of teeth, eternal darkness, the eternal fire. And I remember the look on his face. He was just like, yeah, that seems important. And I'm just like, this is the whole issue, isn't it? What is it that we need? What is it that we really, truly need? Sure, we can have all of the luxuries in life, even some of the luxuries in life, some of the good life, some thriving in life. We can have some of all of those types of things. And when you die, you can't take any of it with you. And if you die without being covered by the blood of Christ, we're talking about the place of weeping and gnashing of teeth for eternity. Where are we when it's coming to us differentiating between life and lifestyle? Life and lifestyle. So what we see here today is Solomon is encouraging us to walk a different way. Socrates said, the unexamined life is not worth living. The gospel declares the unredeemed life is no life at all. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1 to 7. Don't let the excitement of youth cause you to forget your Creator. Honor Him in your youth before you grow old and say, life's not pleasant anymore. Remember Him before the light of the sun, moon, and stars is dim to your old eyes, and rain clouds continually darken your sky. Remember Him before your legs, the guards of your house, start to tremble, and before your shoulders, the strong men stoop. Remember Him before your teeth, your few remaining servants stop grinding, and before your eyes, the woman looking through the windows. Somebody thought that was funny. Looking through the windows, see dimly. Remember Him before the door to life's opportunities is closed and the sound of work fades. Now you rise at the first chirping of the birds, but then all their sounds will grow faint. Remember Him before you become fearful of falling and worry about danger in the streets, before your hair turns white like an almond tree in bloom and you drag along without energy like a dying grasshopper. And the caperberry no longer inspires sexual desire. Remember Him before you near the grave, your everlasting home, when the mourners will weep at your funeral. Yes, remember your Creator now while you are young, before the silver cord of life snaps and the golden bowl is broken. Don't wait until the water jar is smashed at the spring and the pulley is broken at the well. For then the dust will return to the earth and the spirit will return to God who gave it. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word. We pray that it will always be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And Father, I pray that today we won't just disregard Your words as just an opinion or another suggestion that we hear, but we'll understand that this is Your word. And when You say things are better, when You command us to do, it is what we are to do, and it is the better portion. And so, Father, we thank You for it, and we pray that we will stand firm on Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So, like we did last week, same points. The first thing we're going to look at is we're going to see how a Christ-centered life from the beginning brings a lifetime of glory to the King of Kings. The second thing we're going to look at is we're going to witness the beauty of a life that knows and is known by Christ before it comes to the end of the day. And finally, we will see that our hope does not rest in our ability to remember Christ, but in the fact that he remembers us. So our thesis statement of the day is this, and the thesis is basically the entire sermon. I tried to wrap it up into one sentence. It's this: though sin and the pattern of this world cause us to fall into hopelessness because of a message of hope that has no hope, it is the truth of the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit that will lead us to the way, the truth, and the life. So our first point is to remember the Creator. So Solomon is giving us a point. He's saying, remember the Creator. And again, I think this is an interesting observation. Solomon's instruction here is aimed mainly for young people. This is the point. He's saying, I want to talk to the young people. But here's the thing I thought was really, really interesting. I wonder if the people who will truly understand these words are the older ones. Because I hear some of this stuff. I hear the message that he's giving to the young people, and I can sit back and just be like, yeah. It seems like the older I get, the more this passage of scripture really starts to really make a lot of sense. The point of Solomon is this: the best time in life to remember Christ and to serve Christ is while we are still young and have enough to give an entire lifetime to God. There is nothing more beautiful than a whole lifetime of service to God. That's what he's saying. Essentially, he's urging us to the young people. Serve him now. Serve God now. Serve him now. Don't wait until you become so old that you don't have much desire or strength to do anything. A lot of the best production and progress and processes that you can do for the kingdom of heaven is going to happen when you are young. Man, I tell you what, I can tell you that right now and speak right that from experience. I would think about things that I would do when I was a younger pastor. You know, when I was in my early 20s, pastoring in my early 20s, man, the things that I could do, the things that I could accomplish. And I'm just like, you know, I'm thinking back like, you know, I need to do this, and I need to do this, and I need to do this. And I just, but now I think, I don't think I have the strength to do this anymore. I can remember back, you know, when I was on tour. And we used to go from city to city to city, and we would, you know, do our concerts, but I would preach the gospel every single night from city to city to city all over the country. And I'm thinking, man, I don't think I could do that now. So yes, I am glad, because I can see and I can understand. I was way more productive when I was younger. So young people, now is the time. Do this before you lose the strength or even the desire. Give your life to Christ now while you still have enough passion and strength to make a difference. And so this is the exhortation. He's saying, remember Christ, serve Christ now. And then he comes into this beautiful poem intended for the young, but is going to be very, very well understood by the older. Let me read this again, but let me do it from the English Standard Version. I like the poetic nature of the English Standard Version here. Before the sun, or this is verses 2-5. Before the sun and the light and the moon and stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the grinders cease because they are few and those who look through the windows are dimmed and the doors on the street are shut. When the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of the song are brought low. And they are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails, because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Verse 2 is comparing the troubles of old age to dimming sight and to a gathering storm. Both night and day are darkened by clouds. And after the rain falls and the storm clouds gather again, this is what happens as people grow older. Okay? Because the older you get, the more storms, literally and figuratively, you will experience in life. When we are young, there is still time for the sky to clear. But when we are old, we suffer one trouble after another, with little or no time to even recover. The light of life is beginning to grow dim. Sight is dimming, and the days of our lives darken. And man, if I tell you one thing, when I hit 40 years old, like on the day I turned 40 years old, sight started to dim. And I remember that. I come right back to this. Yes, you know, the sight, the windows are starting to dim. And then verses 3-5, we begin to see this metaphor, this house that's being described. And he's comparing our bodies to a house. And the keepers of the house are a person's arms, which is beginning to tremble. And the strong men are our legs, which are bent with age and starting to fail with age. And the grinders are teeth, of course, right? Teeth. And then we start to have issues when it comes to our teeth. You know, when we were young, if we didn't take care of our teeth, it was okay, right? Because they fell out and we got new ones. But apparently, when we're past a certain age, if they fall out, you don't get new ones unless you get some put back in. The grinders are teeth. The windows are our eyes, and they're dimmed. And the older we get, we just have general loss of vision, or we suffer from cataracts and all of those types of things. And the doors we see are our ears that are deaf, or we're starting to get hard of hearing. And then because of our hard of hearing, we're closed to the hustle and bustle of the noisy street that's outside. And the daughters of song are vocal cords that no longer have the elastic strength to make sweet music anymore. And we see that even after time goes by, after age and all that, we start to even lose our vocal cords. We can't sing anymore. And since the almond trees, and if you know a little bit about almond trees, it's understood that they're pale in the springtime. So the phrase "the almond tree blossoms" indicate someone's hair that has turned white with age. And so when you're getting older, you start to wrestle with that. I'm starting to find a lot more of those. I used to try to pull them, but now I'm losing, and I'm losing the battle, and it just doesn't make any sense anymore. So, you know, I might have to wash that gray right out of my hair one of these days. So what we see here is not just that, but that these issues are not the only problems that come with age. And what we find here, and I thought this was really interesting, according to verse 4, that older people have trouble sleeping. It's one of the things that Solomon is saying. Older people have trouble sleeping, and they're up at the first song birds before dawn. And I thought that was really interesting because, man, I tell you what, when I was a teenager or even a young adult, man, I could sleep. I had no problems sleeping. Man, I could go to bed at 9 o'clock at night and not wake up till 12 in the afternoon the next day. I could sleep. I love sleep. But man, I tell you what, the older I get, the less sleep I'm getting. You know, and then I used to always wonder too, because my uncle, he used to go to sleep at like, you know, 12 o'clock every night, and his time he woke up was 3 o'clock. I was just like, you can sleep you can get 3 hours of sleep and survive off of that? You know, you would think that somebody would go insane doing all that kind of stuff. But man, he just, I tell you what, I could get accomplished if I could just do 3 hours of sleep, man, that'd just be amazing. But he says, oh, it never was like that. It's just, that's what he started to do when he got older. Wow. 3 hours of sleep. Okay, and so when we look, according to verse 5, when you get older, you become afraid. You become afraid of doing things. And I totally recognize this, and I totally see this. If when we go to the park with our children, and there's the big jungle gym, you know, I remember back when I was a kid, I had no problems, just climb all the way up to the top. I see my kids climbing all the way up to the top. And here I am, I'm in my mid-40s. And I look at the jungle gym, and it's like, Dad, come up to the top. I'm like, that's not happening. Well, why not? Well, because I'm afraid of falling. And I remember when I was your age, I could fall off that jungle gym and probably just bounce a little bit, get a couple of scratches. If I fall off that jungle gym now, yeah, things are going to break. So it says, they're afraid of falling and being attacked along the road. They suffer from diminished desire, all kinds of desire, not just sexual desire, all kinds of desire. And when I look at this and I see this, I can't help but think about back during the time of David. I remember Barzillai's lament when King David invited him to the royal palace. I pulled this up, 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 35. 2 Samuel 19, verse 35. I mean, listen to what he says. I am this day 80 years old. Can I discern what is pleasant and what is not? Can your servant taste what he eats or what he drinks? Can I still listen to the voice of singing men and singing women? Why then should your servant be added, an added burden to my Lord the King? I just thought that reminded me of that. You know, when he was saying, look at how old I am. I can't even do these types of things. I don't have the desire for this. I don't have the ability to enjoy some of these things. And then we see Solomon in this poem, he begins to move down to the next level. And he's talking about, he tells us one day that the crumbling house is going to fall. And the preacher enlightens us with the image of a grasshopper in verse 5. Now, we understand typically when you see grasshoppers and they travel, they're normally springing. Grasshoppers normally jump. Now, if you were to actually see a grasshopper on the sidewalk, that's not jumping, but kind of crawling on the ground. First thing we would probably think is that might not be a grasshopper, but we look closer and we thought, okay, it is a grasshopper. What's the first thought that would go through our mind? Something's wrong. Something's wrong. So when a grasshopper drags itself along the ground, it's a goner. And then we're all being warned here. The same fate awaits all of us, not just with the diminishing of the old age, but we're talking about the dust of death. And this is a reason to remember our Creator while we are still young. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 5 to 7, if you look at verses 5 to 7, they are afraid also of what is high. Terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms. The grasshopper drags itself along. And desire fails because man is going to his eternal home. And the mourners go about the streets before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel is broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. What vivid descriptions of death. Vivid descriptions. Now, the thing that's amazing, the thing that I like about this is, yes, it is vivid descriptions of death, but family, it's a reminder, and it causes us to think about this thing called death. Because if there is one thing that I am 100% sure of, at least at this point in technology, is that every single one of us one day is going to die. Now here's the thing that's really, really not scary, but really enlightening, and something that we need to make sure that we're always thinking about, is that we have no idea when we're going to be face to face with death. And it's not reserved for the older. This is the thing that we've got to make sure that we understand. Young people, hear this. It's not reserved for once you get to the place where, okay, Shane is over 80 years old. Now it's fair game for him to die. Now he's 80 years old. Feel free to run him over in the street. It does not matter. There is no age limit. There is none of that. There's no creed or color, race, any belief system, culture, none of that stuff. There is none of that. Basically, when it's time to die, it's time to die. No matter how old you are. I mean, it's just interesting. Some of you remember the story. There was a lady that visited us one Sunday, and I'm so glad. And this is why I'm so glad that we preach the gospel every single Sunday. She heard the gospel in church, and she got into her car, and she drove out, got into an accident right here on 6th and Peoria, and she died. Or was it 6th and Peoria's here? Sorry. So Linda's always, helping my direction. Yeah, it's here. And she died right here in church. That's what I'm saying. Family, we don't know. I mean, today we could get up out of our seats today, jump in our car, drive, get into an accident, and we are face to face with the Creator. We don't know. We don't know, and this is what Solomon is trying to get us to understand. Serve him now while you still have the strength. But just serve him now while you can serve him now. What vivid descriptions of death, and we are all face to face with this. We are all going to be faced with this someday. One day, mourners are going to carry our bodies out for burial. Death is like the snapping of a silver cord and the shattering of a golden bowl. And what this is referring to is it refers to those golden lamps that were suspended by a silver chain. Okay? And the reason why he's using this is because the idea is it's a light. And when the silver cord and the golden bowl is broken, it means the light of life has been snuffed out. Something precious, something beautiful is now broken. There's so much we can say about death. To die is to return to dust. Remember, that's the curse that God pronounced on Adam and all our sin. We too are made of dust. Genesis chapter 2 makes that pretty clear. We are made of dust, and to dust we shall return. One day our bodies will go into the ground and our souls will return to their maker as death separates body from the soul. So the call of the preacher is telling us to remember our Creator now before all of these things begin to happen to us. So here's the point. The point is now. Point number two, now, not later. One more time. Now, not later. Some of you are thinking even, well, Shane, I'm older. Same thing. Now, not later. While you still have breath. Now, not later. Getting to know our Creator before we grow old and die is the most important thing that we can ever do. And this is a call, especially to the young people again, but understood probably more clearly by the older people in this room today. Remember Christ now while you still have strength. Do not use your strength toward the emptiness of life, no matter how appealing the world makes it seem. And that's one of the things that's very, very difficult and hard when it comes to our world today. There's so many avenues, so many ways where messages and ideologies and philosophies and all of these things are coming at us, and we're receiving it, whether we believe it or not. Every time you check your Facebook, every time you look at Instagram, every time you watch a movie, anytime you watch TV, anytime you're on Netflix and you're binge watching a show, for 10 hours, Whatever it is, you need to understand, we all need to understand that there is a message that's being communicated to us. The question is, can we identify the lies? Do you know that even Janine and I, you know, we'll, you know, let our kids watch, you know, Disney movies and stuff like that. But do you know one of the things that we have to do? We have to make sure that we sit down with our children and we have our children tell us where the lies and the deceptions, the unbiblical principles that you find even in cartoons today. Even my favorite, even the one I like, the one that I enjoy, because it's Hawaii. Moana. Malila. Where did I get Malila from? even that one. It's just like, you think Moana, you know, what's wrong with Moana? You know, what's that's such a great show. It's got great, it's got music. You know, The Rock did an amazing job. You know, he just did all the stuff. Thing is that family, you know, all of these things, it's there. You know, we're in the world. It's just, you know, we're in the world. We're not to be of the world, all of those types of things. The question is, are we able to process and to recognize where the issues are? That's the thing I think is really interesting. Because the thing is like, people, we don't catch this stuff. We don't get it. We think these things are so innocent. But do you guys realize that that Moana, the foundations of Moana essentially is a daughter rebelling against her father? Did we even catch that? Even see that? That we're even supporting it? Not supporting it, but we're celebrating the fact that a daughter went against her father's wishes? Why is that becoming an issue? Because that is our ideology in our culture today. We rebel against authority. All throughout Scripture, it talks about how we're supposed to submit to authority, but our culture today is celebrating those who rebel against authority. So we do. We're supposed to rebel against authority. We don't let people tell us what to do. The only freedom that, you know, these slogans, right? The only real freedom individuals have is being able to make choices on their own. You know, don't let anybody tell you what to do. Don't let anybody tell you what you can do. Don't let anybody tell you what you can't do. I can remember even in school, it was almost like uncool if you actually obeyed your parents. You know, it's like, hey, let's go do this. Let's go to the movies. It's just like, no. My parents said no. So you always listen. Shane, he listens to his parents. Shane, you listen to your parents. You're a loser. I mean, it's just even like the fact that you're wanting to be obedient, rebellion, rebel. And it's not just my generation. It's the older generation too. Come on, rebel without a cause. You guys didn't think that was a cool movie? I mean, come on, man. All you guys were all trying to dress like James Dean. Everybody has had their hair slicked back. You guys all had that little duck, the duck thing. You guys got your packet of cigarettes. Even when you were young, you know, the bubblegum cigarettes, you're rolling it in your sleeve. Black comb in your pocket. Frank probably had one of them, he probably had the switchblade comb. You know, you pull it out. we celebrate this. And the thing is that he is calling us to remember Christ now, to stop rebelling against your heavenly Father, to stop rebelling against the Creator, to stop rebelling against the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, for all of us to get down on our knees and to worship Him, to praise Him, and to glorify Him, because I'll tell you this right now, one day, you will. Whether you like it or want to or not, you will. Because the Bible says one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Remember Christ now while we're still charting our course in life. Don't waste your talents on meaningless things under the sun, no matter how appealing the world makes it seem. Remember the Creator now before you forget the God who made you and you make a lot of bad decisions that you're going to regret later. Many of us can look back at our lives when we were younger and we can look back at the decisions that we make and we all say, I regret that. I know it's hard to believe. I know it's hard to believe, but I bet you anything, there are things that Linda Zellner has done that she regrets. I know it's hard to believe. Remember God while we still have a whole lifetime to live for His glory. Tell me today, forget the defense or the deceptive promises of the world that promise power, pleasure, popularity, and profit. Solomon showed us how all of this stuff is vanity. It's just a vapor in the wind. The rich, if you look at it today, they find no satisfaction. They always are looking for more. They always want more. They're singing, I can't get no satisfaction. The popular, those who are popular, they're struggling now even more than they did before they were popular with more and more rejection. One of the reasons why people want to be popular is because they don't like being rejected. But you know what the problem is? When you become popular, you got more people that know about you, and now you got more people to reject you. Pleasure becomes more desensitized. You need more and more power. The more people become powerful, the more insecure they get. You know what I'm saying? It's bizarre. All of these things that the world is telling us that we need to fight for, things that we want, things that we need to have, things that we need to gather so that we can achieve all of these types of things. And what it does is it just destroys them one by one, slowly but surely. One of the most powerful, profitable men of our generation was Steve Jobs. They asked Steve at the end when he was dying of cancer and he was about ready to die, they asked him if he had any regrets in life. This is a man who had everything. Top of the world. You know what he said? He says, I wish I would have spent more time with my family. I would give anything right now to spend more time with my family. Remember Christ, because He alone is worthy of all praise. Family, remember Christ. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Remember Christ. He is our hope. He is our strength. Remember Christ, for His grace is truly enough for us. Family, remember Christ, because His power is truly made perfect through our weakness. That's why we can say when we are weak, then we are strong. Remember Christ, for nothing can separate us from the love of God. Remember Christ, because He is the way, the truth, and the life. I can go on and on and on. This passage, this whole section, it's showing us the beauty of the Creator. I mean, some people may think, well, you know, that poem seemed a little bit bleak. We talk about death, but death is a reality. And family, death, for those who are in Christ, is a beautiful thing. Psalm chapter 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. That day when it's all and we take our last breath and then we're face to face with our Heavenly Father, face to face with our Lord. That's why Paul says to live is Christ, to die is gain. Pastor, I'm going to close. A pastor, he tells a story about the time his grandfather was in his early 90s. And he said his grandfather found it very, very hard to remember much of anything. Just had a hard time remembering anything. including, he says, on occasion, who he was. Like, I just, his memory was so bad that he even forgot who he was at times. And it was extremely distressing for him, extremely hard for his grandfather. And he knew that he was confused about it, and he didn't know why. And every once in a while, he would say, you know what? I cannot remember who I am. And then he says, my grandfather at times would grab a hold of my mom, he said, and he would be like, I don't remember who I am. Who am I? I don't remember. And he says, one day, he says, he was really panicking. He was really afraid. He grabbed his daughter, grabbed his mom, and said, I can't remember who I am. And she said, that's okay, Dad. I know who you are, and I'll take care of everything you need. And he said that struck him. And it struck me when I read this story. The great thing is not that we remember our Creator, even though we're called to remember Him. The great thing is that God, Christ, remembers us now, and He will remember us all our days. John chapter 6, verse 39 to 40. John chapter 6, verse 39 to 40. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of all those He has given me, but that I should raise them up on the last day. For it is my Father's will that all who see His Son and believe in Him should have eternal life, and I will raise Him up on that last day. So do you see? Jesus has promised to remember us from now until the last of all days, when He will raise us up to everlasting life. He's not going to forget us. He's always going to remember us. And we need to be encouraged by this promise of the resurrection, that those who die believing in Christ today, family, all of us, children of God, that one day we will live again. Though we die, we will live again, and we will live forever. Like the preacher in Ecclesiastes, the Apostle Paul, he understood that one day the old house of our earthly body will be destroyed. But as the servant of the Savior, one day we will be risen from the grave, and our bodies will be rebuilt. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God Himself and not by human hands. So I love that illustration that we see in Ecclesiastes, how he refers to our body as a house. Because we see the same thing here for the Apostle Paul, how he refers to our body as a house. The new house, our resurrected body of everyone who believes in Jesus, who believes in the cross, and believes in the empty tomb. See, and this is why I believe that some of us, even though we're older, you know, there's some people that are older, but yet they just seem so young still. You know, they're so young and so vibrant, and they're still old. And I just love that, because I love the promise. In Psalm 92, it compares the righteous to a palm tree growing in the house of God. And the psalmist says, they still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. Even as they grow old, the righteous are alive by the power of the Holy Spirit that's living within them. So yeah, outwardly we may all be wasting away, but inwardly we are being renewed every single day. We live in hope for an eternal home. We will know, and we will be alive, and we will be vibrant again. This is a hope that comes from the truth of the gospel. Life is found in Christ and in Christ alone, and it belongs to those who are found in Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And though it's through Christ and Christ alone, it's only through Christ and Christ alone that we will find life and life more abundant. We have life in Christ. Why? Because Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. And he was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Today you can have life in the name of Christ Because the Bible also promises that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There is life for us, life more abundant. So we see the true value of life is not about worldly success, but it's about a lifetime of service to the King of Kings, a lifetime of glorifying the King, a lifetime of bringing glory to Christ. And if we want to have a life that's worth living, we have to have meaning. But the only way to have meaning is in Christ and in Christ alone. So family, today, remember Jesus today. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. For more information about Central Baptist Church, go to www.cbcaurora.com.